everyone. Good morning. I can't even. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to be live with you every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. I was being funny and made Jeff laugh as we were starting the recording, which, you know, I just think is a perfect way to start. I don't know why you hit the button.
Like,
here's what I did, friends. And then we're going to play a show. I started the morning with, all right, Jeff, are you ready to rumble? I would like to submit a formal complaint and apology on behalf of the Teach Better team if I just yelled loudly in your ear or a car speaker. So I apologize, friends. Good morning. So welcome to Teach Better.
Is the complaint against you, but then apology is also from you? Is that?
Yeah, it's not a complaint. I want to address the complaint that you may have had that I may have yelled in your ear. If you're in the car or if we're in the headphones, I want to sincerely apologize on behalf of the Teach Better team. It's just one of those days, guys. The coffee's not kicking in. Good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show. My name is Ray Hewart. I am here with Jeffrey Raymond Gargas. We are ready to kick off your morning on this incredible November day.
It is an incredible day, isn't it?
It's just going to be an amazing day. I think it's going to be the best day of all time.
The best day ever?
The best day ever. I am going to the coffee shop later today, so I'm excited to sit somewhere, put in headphones, and like zone out working. I'm very excited for that.
I might go to a coffee shop and sit somewhere, put in headphones, and just zone out.
Nope. You have a job to do. I think zone out working is maybe a better. Zone
out. I'm just gonna fall into a blissful nap at the coffee shop.
No. The people that are in our network, they understand. Like, you close and lock your classroom door. It's quiet. For me in my classroom, I had like windows, so I would dull the lights a little bit, like turn them off, and then I would put on some music and just hone in and work, and no one would bother me, and it was great. And that's essentially what I'm recreating at the coffee shop today. Okay. You know, it's a good work session where you can like work and then you look up at the clock and you're like, oh my God, how has it already been 45 minutes? I just started. You know?
But it's like the same thing happens with a nap. Like, you wake up and you're like, how has it been 4 hours? I guess my work day is over. It's four. No. O'clock, whatever, you know. No.
Here's my question, maybe to kick off the day. We need you in the comments, friends. Don't you believe that there are nap people and not nap people? Jeff, are you frozen? Jeff is frozen on my end. What's happening?
I mean, spinning. Am I back for you or not?
You're back. Hi.
Like, we were both spinning on my end. I guess maybe it was me. I don't know.
I don't know, but I felt like I asked you a really important question and then you just didn't want to respond.
I'm getting a connection is unstable. Ooh, it's gotten better though. It's fairly good. That's weird. Are we just rolling still?
Yeah, of course we are. Because okay. I just want to know, I asked you if there was such thing, if you believe there was such thing as nap people versus non-nap people, and then you zoned.
Actually. Yeah, okay. So why I took a nap. No, my answer is that actually, like, I do believe that, because I, even though I was literally just joking about it, I'm not a nap person, so no. I don't nap. Now, I will occasionally on a Saturday or Sunday will nap, but it's unintentional. Like, I'm not like looking forward to nap. I just lay down and like the week catches up because I probably should have napped and go down. But no, I know people who are like, no, like, I take a nap every day. Like, that's, I don't, but.
Well, and I think the weekends are when most educators would even have the option to nap, but
yeah,
I have a prep period
that they can get one in, you know.
You cannot nap during a prep period. We are not getting into that.
Should be able to.
No. But my thing is, people that nap say like, ooh, 20 minutes. You get 20 minutes and you like feel rejuvenated. when mm-hmm. I nap, I want like 3 hours, which I don't think it's not a nap anymore. That's sleeping.
Yeah, you went to sleep for a while. Yes.
Yes.
I'm interested. I don't know if is there science behind that? Like, I know like when you get to a certain number of minutes of sleep, like then your body goes into like, it starts to try to go back to sleep and then you mess yourself up. But I don't know if 20 minutes is enough. For some reason in my head, 75 minutes is what I've read. Like when you're talking about like snooze and they talk about like when you hit the snooze, like don't do that because like the next time you wake up, you're actually gonna be worse off because your body has tried to go back to sleep unless you're able to give it 75 minutes of rest. Cause that gives it, so it can possibly go through a cycle. I don't know. Someone smarter than me look up the science, but I've looked at that before. I tell myself that so that I don't snooze.
We just want to know if you're a nap person or not a nap person. I'm going to go that I'm not a nap person because when I nap, I want a solid.
You want to sleep.
Yeah, I want to sleep. And I honestly, I'm somebody who could fall asleep anywhere. Like if you guys were like, Ray, during the show, I just want you to lay or like sit back in your chair and take a nap. I could be asleep within the next 5 minutes. Easy. Like I can sleep anywhere.
I am not that. That is not me.
Yeah. It's
a blessing. I have trouble sleeping most places. So no, not in that person. Don't sleep well, usually.
Well, none of us are going to be sleeping right now because we're getting ready for an incredible day ahead.
Yes.
Jeff, you have a big day today because you have that presentation with.
With the SPI community. Yep.
Yep. And then we are going to also have our event tonight. So you have a really long day ahead.
Yeah. Yes. So, so we have our event tonight with Ashley Gore, which is EduCreator Club. So if you go over to teachbetter.com/EduPreneur Launch Webinar, I think I got it right. Mm-hmm. You can still register for free. That's not at 8 p.m., but earlier in the day at noon, I'm with her community, which is fun. So,
and
nerves, whatever going on today. So we'll see.
No nerves. You're going to be great.
I'm excited.
And I'm leaving. I'm actually like technically traveling today. Like I'm doing the show and then I'm leaving. I'm going to Ohio and I'm there.
I was going to say, you're coming to Ohio, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I'm in Ohio. I'm looking.
You're nowhere near me though.
Oh my God, friends. Okay, I will admit. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Guys, so the Teach Better team works with a lot of schools and like Katie is in charge of like booking travel and stuff. So I never like book my own flights, nothing, but I know what work I need to have done. I just don't always know like what day I get to do different things. And I have not even looked where I was going because I knew that I was like, wherever I was going, Katie was going to tell me and my TSA boarding pass was going to tell me where I was going. So I knew I was like somewhere in Ohio. I just looked. I am at one of my favorite places tomorrow. I'm going to the North Point ESC.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You do. Oh like my God. There. It's my.
Is that up on the water? That's up on the water, isn't it?
Uh-huh. So it's like near Sandusky. In
Sandusky, yeah.
Which means I'm flying into Cleveland, driving an hour to like the Sandusky area. And first off, this group is just like so fun. They're all different grade levels, everything. They always are doing really good work. Well,
it's different schools too, right? Because it's an ESC, right? So you have multiple districts? Yeah.
Multiple districts, multiple different like certifications in teaching too, which is kind of fun. And just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just always a good group of people that come together. I don't know how they vet their groups. And then because it's on the water, anytime I have where I'm not doing instruction at the ESC, I like go down to the water and there's this like fun little taco restaurant. I like sit there and eat tacos on the water. It's like my favorite little vacay.
I enjoy, it's been a lot. There's several schools that we work with that you are the one who typically takes care of them and supports them where you go and it's like a trip for you, like a 2-day, sometimes 3-day trip. And you're like, you act like you're on vacation.
Oh, I know. Completely.
Like a little while ago, you went on your trip with some girlfriends and like the week before you were in California for 3 days working with a school. Yeah. And like, you were like, I could tell you like feeling guilty for going on this little trip with your friends. And I'm like going, you're like, but I was just on vacation last week. I'm like, no, you weren't. You were working. You just happened to have to also travel for 2 days working because it's so far out there and back. And you're like, oh yeah, that's right. That was a client thing.
No, but seriously. So the ESC, North Point ESC, her, the woman who runs and like schedules all this, name is Brandy. And Brandy and I have an agreement that if she wants me to come out, she has to find a way to book me for 2 days, because I love having an evening to enjoy their community. Yeah. So
are Brandy, you going out for 2 days?
Yeah, yeah. I'm out there for 2 nights total. It's 3 days. It's like I'm traveling today, doing the PD tomorrow, and then doing another PD.
So you get to have your evening tomorrow evening.
I get two nights there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you get two. That's right. You got
tonight. I get like tonight and the following. And so I'm like, Brandy, I will always come here and always have a ball with you guys, but I need my evenings to like enjoy your community, because it's so fun.
And you get in at a time where you'll be able to, even with the drive there, like you'll get there for like a later dinner, like which it'll be dark by the time you get there. Cause
it'll be fine.
But yeah. Well, that's exciting. I should come out. That's only like an hour and a half for me. I think I can just come out.
You should. Oh my God. I could show you my taco bar.
We could definitely do the taco bar. I'm looking at, I'm looking at my other, now I'm totally not with you live. Now I'm looking, I'm like, well, maybe I will come out and see, right? How far is that from me?
Yeah, you can't.
Go ahead and talk about what you want to talk about. I'm looking on Google Maps real quick.
Here's my suggestions. And then we're going to go into a listener question. My suggestion for all of you is if you have to do something you don't want to do, you have to find ways to make it enjoyable. So when I travel, and this is, Chad always makes fun of me because Chad's like, why does it always seem like you're on vacation? When I'm traveling, I'm like, trying to find a fancy restaurant that I would have never had the opportunity to go to, or trying to find a hike I could go on that I never would have gone on. Or I bring like all my self-care stuff, like eye patches. And I do like, you know, like a facial in the hotel room to try and like be all fancy. And it's fun to be able to see new places. Sandusky, though, I've been to like 6 times, and Brandy and I just have an agreement that I want to be near the water, which is where the ESC is. So
I want to, like, I want to change the way you said it. You said something you don't like to do. Like this isn't something that you don't like to do. This just happens to be your job, and you're finding the best, like, how to enjoy every aspect of it. We've talked about, we joked a lot about how we have to teach, like, you need to teach Chad how to travel, because Chad travels obviously a lot too. And it doesn't seem ever like he's on vacation.
Well, but Chad does more like quick day trips. So those are like long days.
He does a lot because he sports most of the Ohio client, so like he's got to drive a couple hours, but it's enough for him to come home. And
I will say though, I love what I do. I have the best job, not to brag, but I feel like I have my dream job currently. But when I end at 3 and don't have anything until 9 again the next morning, and I'm staying overnight in a community, like you have to make it, you can't be like a pause from your life. You have to make it a part of, I don't know how to phrase this. Like you have to make it a part of your life. Like how am I going to take advantage of being somewhere versus.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is like, it's a difference of looking of I have to go do this too. I get to go to a new place.
Yeah.
Like, and you get to go and find that bar, that taco bar that you like, or that new thing, you know, try the local cuisine, stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And I could either sit in a hotel from 4 o'clock to when I go to bed and answer emails and, you know, work on Teach Better Work and watch, you know, catch up on shows, which I might do at some point, but specifically in Sandusky, I can do all of that while sitting at a restaurant with a view of the water. And, you know, it's a little bit of a different environment to enjoy. So trying to embrace the positives, friends.
I love it. I love it.
We're getting into team talk. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Teach Better Today morning show. I totally forgot what we were going to do during team talk. And I just remembered we're talking formative assessments.
Yes. That's what we said we were going to talk about. Yes.
Because we were kind of alluding that was a topic a lot of people were asking about on a previous show. And we got a lot of feedback that people are looking for tips and tricks. And we're going to brainstorm. how to give you more formative assessment support. But we thought we'd go through like a very, 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 very tiny strategy today so that you can do some reflection today and throughout your week on one specific area of formative assessments. And then, I don't know, we'll come up with something. Keep hounding us that you want this information. We'll figure out a way to support you to the best of our ability. So we're going to talk formative assessments. Does that work for you, Jeff?
That works for me. That's what people, it's funny that we talked about it and we're like, it seems like a lot of people want to know about it. And then a lot of other people were like, yes. we're like, okay, well, that makes sense then. Yes. So let's talk about that.
Okay. So the element that we want to highlight today, we're going to go short and sweet, and we would love to hear from you in the comments, is formative assessments typically are unsuccessful when we are not extremely strategic in our objective for the formative assessment. So we work with a lot of educators. I know we talk about it a lot here on the show. You need to take your target, break it down in, or take your standard, break it down into targets, those I can statements, and then design your instruction. But something that we all should naturally do, but we don't talk about enough, is even when you have a target, you almost need to break that target into teeny, 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 tiny targets that are going to help make sure that you are working towards mastering that end result, that end target, mm-hmm. you know? So I actually, I'm going to pull up an example that we're using in a school district that's a second and third grade. I'm going to get rid of our faces so it's bigger for everyone to see. Hold on. Okay, here we go. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, you'll be able to see this. But up on the screen is an example of a second grade standard. We're looking at second grade math. And we actually just did this presentation in the schools over Thanksgiving week. So what we have here is we have the overarching concept of the standard in pink. We're going to be adding and subtracting multi-digit numbers. We broke that down into multiple targets. One of the targets is students can add multi-digit numbers. So again, we're breaking this down. Now, the target of students can add multi-digit numbers is really, really valuable. And that will help us do so many things. But what you'll see on the screen is that then we broke that target into teeny, teeny targets that we're going to be looking at building throughout the week. So Monday's going to have a teeny target. Tuesday's going to have a teeny target. And the hope would be at some point, all these teeny, teeny, tiny targets are going to support us in mastering that overarching topic of target of student being able to add multi-digit numbers. So looking at some examples here, the Monday says a teeny target. Students can create a model using base 10 blocks to demonstrate two-digit addition without regrouping. So again, it's a very, very small concept within this overarching target we're working on. Tuesday says students can design a model of base 10 blocks to demonstrate. Wednesday says students can use a 100s grid, and so on and so forth. And by the end of the week, students have done so many different manipulations of ways to add multi-digit numbers that then they'll be able to say, yes, I can add multi-digit numbers. The benefit of breaking down your overarching target, whether it be a target for a week or a target just for a few days, breaking that down into teeny, teeny, tiny objectives is that then that is the only information that you are going to include in your formative evaluation. So for example, every single day, maybe multiple times throughout your class hour, you're going to have different formative check-ins with your students, but your goal is only to have it be strategically aligned with that teeny target. That's going to help you make sure that your formative assessments are really short. That's going to help you ensure that your formative assessments are really targeted to the objective. And it's also going to help you give more effective feedback because you are only addressing a small, small, small concept. So something to look at here. Jeff, I know I just presented like a ton of this stuff, but what are your thoughts on this?
No, it makes complete sense. I do think it should be teeny tiny target, but that's a separate thing. I think it's, no, I mean, to me, it makes sense. That's where we see the success when we work with schools is that you continue to break it down and align it to make sure to go back to what you said, which is, the number one reason people struggle with formative is because we don't know the purpose because it's too big. Right. And we're like, and I think we talked about it the other day when we talked about, I think when we were talking about retakes, we talked about how by breaking it down and the teeny targets do that and creating your assessments with those, it allows you to then, when it's a cover, when it's bigger and broader and a student's struggling, it's harder to determine where they're struggling. When you've broken it down like that, it's really easy, or let me say that, easier to pinpoint where they're actually having a struggle because you've broken it down. So now you're able to break down where the struggle is, and therefore it helped them to master whatever it is that they're struggling with.
Yeah, I would love
anything though. That's
teeny tiny target. Jeff's complaining because on this sheet it actually just says teeny target, says but teeny. I like to say teeny tiny target.
You actually have been saying teeny, teeny, tiny. That's a lot to put on the sheet, though. We won't go there. But
either way, this is just one example. But if any of you are looking to improve your formative assessments, if you're finding that they're too long, if you're finding that you're struggling to give feedback, if you're finding that they're not actually helping you adjust your instruction, I can tell you that 90% of the educators we're working with find that their formative assessments are just too big. And it doesn't mean that you can't give multiple formative assessments in a day. Just break them up so that you can be strategic in what your focus is going to be. So excited to hear from all of you trying this new strategy maybe and being reflective. And maybe you'll be reflective and saying, whoa, like, you know, half of my formative assessments are really strategic. It's just these few that I have to adjust. And I think that's such a blessing that we can constantly reflect on the work that we're doing.
Love it.
So friends, keep us updated on what other supports you are looking for. We have a lot of different formative skills and ideas, so we can keep talking about them on the show. If you have specific questions you want us to answer, we always love when you submit those listeners' questions. Feel free to submit those to me or anyone on the team. Just tell them it's a listener question. Look at it in the right section, and we'll go from there. But we hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow, friends. Bye, guys. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.